Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Camtek's first quarter 2015 results conference call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you've not received it, please contact Camtek's Investor Relations team at GK Investor Relations or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.camtek.co.il. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, please begin.
Thank you, operator, and good day to all of you. I would like to welcome all of you to Camtek's first quarter 2016 results conference call, and I would also like to thank Camtek's management for hosting this call. With us on the line today are Mr. Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Moshe Eisenberg, Camtek's CFO. Rafi will provide an overview of Camtek's performance and strategy, and Moshe will discuss the financial results of the quarter. We'll then open the call to take your questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind our listeners that certain information provided on this call are internal company estimates unless otherwise specified. This call may also contain forward-looking statements. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Statements on this call are made as of today, and the company undertakes no obligation to update any of the forward-looking statements contained, whether as a result of new information, future events, changes in expectation, or otherwise. Investors are reminded that actual events may result or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for services and products, the timely development of new services and products and adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry and price reduction, as well as due to other risks identified in the company's filing with the SEC. Please note that the safe harbor statement in today's press release also covers the content of this conference call. In addition, during this call, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed. These are used by management to take strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes that the presentation of non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investor understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operation and prospects for the future. A full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures is included in today's earnings release. I would now like to hand over the call to Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO. Rafi, go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Ehud. Hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are pleased with our top-line performance in the first quarter, which is typically the weakest quarter of the year. Our revenue grew 12% over Q1 last year, and this strong year-over-year growth, combined with our expected sequential improvement in the second quarter. Gross margin in this quarter was lower than Camtek's usual range due to a specific turnkey project from a PCB strategic customer involving third-party automation equipment with lower profitability. We expect the gross margin to return to the typical range already in the second quarter. Overall, looking further in 2016, we expect continued double-digit growth from our semiconductor business, combined with a strong and stable PCB business. Our semiconductor inspection and metrology business sales in Q1 remained robust, growing by 19% over those of the first quarter last year. We expect this business to exhibit strong annual double-digit growth, and we believe it will be the main growth driver for Camtek's business in 2016. This is in spite of the generally flat and volatile spending environment by the semiconductor market as a whole, and the first quarter, which typically is the weakest one of the year. The volatile environment is causing our customer to delay their buying decisions, resulting in shorter delivery time, and we have organized our manufacturing infrastructure to respond to this challenge. However, growth continue to be evident in the major market segments upon which we focus, the advanced packaging, CMOS image sensor, and MEMS. We are continuing to dominate the 3D metrology segment in the advanced packaging market. And in parallel, our new 2D inspection capabilities, which we introduced at Semicon China only 2 months ago, have already contributed to our revenue. The new Eagle version for 2D applications that is utilizing new technology is expected to enable us to take significant market share, especially in the 2D advanced packaging market segment. We are very active in the fan-out market segment, which is one of the growth engines of the advanced packaging. We have developed special capabilities for this application, some of which we are leveraging our PCB inspection core competence. We are expecting to ship multiple systems to our customer at the ramp production in 2016 and beyond. The CMOS image sensor and the MEMS market are presenting exciting opportunities to Camtek as the demand is continuing to grow. We are getting repeat orders from our customers that are expanding their capacity, and we expect this trend to continue in the next few quarters. We continue to increase our market share in Asia, especially in OSAT, which was historically one of our weak points, and today we are doing business with all the major OSATs and foundries. While CapEx spending plans at some of the major industry players is mostly flat versus last year, the market segment we focus on are less sensitive to overall CapEx spending trends. In the specific segment for which we are major player, in particular the advanced packaging segment, we expect our market share to grow as well as the overall market to expand. We therefore expect our semiconductor segment to continue to grow, and we expect to see continued double-digit growth over last year. In the PCB market, the AOI business showed good performance in Q1, despite the Chinese New Year, which typically puts pause in spending for a few weeks in the quarter. We also took advantage of strategic opportunities to entrench our position as a leading supplier in this segment, in general and specifically in the IC substrate segment. Our IM customers are investing a lot of efforts in new technologies for advanced IC carrier and embedded IC. We are supporting the R&D efforts with 2D and 3D integrated AOI and new features. With regard to the Griffon, as I mentioned, we continue to take feedback from our 4 customers and make improvement and adjustment to our product, enabling Griffon to fit most of the customers' requirements more effectively. We are focusing our resources to meet these particular customers' demands and the end user requirement. At the same time, we are looking for a strategic partner to help us advance this business. And with that, I would like to hand over to Moshe for more detailed discussion of the financial result of the quarter. Moshe?
Thank you, Rafi. As Rafi mentioned, we are happy with our revenue trend this quarter, which were in line with our expectations. I will summarize the results on a non-GAAP basis. You can see the reconciliation between GAAP and non-GAAP results in the tables at the end of the press release issued earlier today. First quarter revenues came at $24.5 million. Revenues were 12% above those of the first quarter last year. Revenues from sales and services to the semiconductor industry in the first quarter were $16.8 million, representing 69% of our total revenue. First quarter revenues from sales and services to the PCB market were $7.7 million, representing 31% of our total revenues in the quarter. The geographic revenue split for the quarter was as follows. As in Q4 2015, Taiwan was the strongest region during the quarter, representing approximately 35% of overall revenues. China was 28%, Japan was 8%, Korea was 7%, rest of Asia 15%. European sales were 5% and US sales were 2%. Gross profit for the quarter was $10.3 million, representing a gross margin of 42.3%. This is compared with a gross profit of $9.8 million, representing margin of 45.2% in the first quarter of last year. The decrease in the gross margin is related to a turnkey project to a strategic PCB customer at a relatively low margin. Operating expenses in the quarter were $9.9 million. This is compared with $8.6 million in the first quarter of last year. Operating expenses were at the same level as those of the prior two quarters and reflect our R&D efforts to take advantage of some of the strong opportunities we are currently seeing in our target markets, which will be reflected in further increase in R&D expenses in Q2. Operating profit in the quarter was $451,000, a decrease of 62.3% over the $1.2 million reported in the first quarter of last year, which, as I mentioned beforehand, is driven by the lower gross margin. Operating margin was 1.8% versus 5.5% in the first quarter last year. We know that approximately $1.5 million in quarterly operating expenses are attributed to our digital printing and affecting our overall profitability. Net income for the first quarter of 2016 was $193,000, or 1 cent per diluted share. This is compared to a net income of $334,000 or 1 cent per diluted share in the first quarter of last year. Cash, cash equivalents, short and long-term restricted deposits as of March 31, 2016 were $33.7 million, out of which $7.9 million are restricted deposits. This compared with $38.7 million as of December 31, 2015. The company generated a negative operating cash flow of $4.5 million during the quarter, principally due to a timing of collection. We expect a strong collection during Q2. Up until now, we have collected $11.3 million. Due to a local tax issue, the $14.6 million judgment payment to Rudolph Technologies has not been paid yet, and it is expected to be paid once the court will provide its final guidance. For the second quarter of 2016, we expect revenues of between $25 to $27 million, representing 6% year-over-year growth at the guidance midpoint. We will now open the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question-answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you're using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Edwin Mock of Needham. Please go ahead.
So taking my question, good time, good job on the top line growth, guys. So first question I have is on the gross margin. I think you mentioned, or Rafi, you mentioned there was a third party turnkey project that impacted gross margin. Any way you can kind of quantify that and kind of maybe give a little more color what actually happened there? And then how do we come, any range you can provide for the second quarter in terms of how gross margin can recover in the second quarter?
Okay. If you, as I mentioned, this is something, a unique space, a unique case that sometimes if you have a strategic customer and it's when I mean turnkey project, it means it's not just a delivery AI to customer. It could include automation and system and software, many things together that include the project. And if it's strategic customer, sometime to penetrate this customer, you make some efforts in this way or another way. And so if we look on the total deal, in this specific case of penetration, it affects the gross margin. But as I mentioned, this doesn't happen every day. It happens once for 2 years. So we don't see anything like that in the next few quarter. So we feel comfortable that it was only a one-time event.
I see. So this is actually a new customer that you guys were trying to penetrate. That's what drove the low gross margin then?
No, it's not. As I mentioned, it's not everything made by Camtek. Camtek use outsourcing and other third party to ship to this customer total solutions. And but the customer want to get from Camtek the full responsibility on everything. So in this case, if we talk together, the whole project, the cost and the selling point and the selling amount, so the gross margin is a little bit low and it affects the specific quarter.
I see. Okay, great. That's helpful color. Any guidance you can give for the second quarter? Are we going back to like 44, 40? I think historically you guys are like 44-45% range.
Yeah, we are generally speaking looking into our Q2 activity and projects. We will return to the 44-46% gross margin range.
Great, that's helpful. And then, Moshe, you mentioned on the call that you expect R&D expense to increase this quarter. Kyle, can you give some color in terms of where that those R&D spend on and how much of an increase are we looking at?
I can provide some color on, you know, we all of this increase is attributed to the semiconductor business. Looking further into the rest of the year, we see more activity and increase in volume. And we are also working on new versions of the machine. So R&D as a result will be higher in the next few quarters.
I see. Okay. And then on the launch of a new 2D product that you mentioned, Rafi, can you give us a rough idea in terms of how much of your sales now come from this product as of right now? And as we go through the year, how much do you think that will drive your growth? Do you expect that growth come from that new product, or is your 3D metrology product still driving the growth as well?
As I said, we have few segments, we are a dominant supplier, as we mentioned. As I said, metrology, I think we are the leading supplier in the CMOS image sensor and MEMS. And now we started with the 2D. And I believe that, you know, that we are just in the beginning of the process. It will take a few months before we go all qualification process. So still, I believe that most of the revenue in 2016, I would say most of it come about in the same mix that we used to perform last year. in metrology, about 50% CMOS sensor, MEMS, and some other applications. But we can see the beginning of 2D inspections, and I believe that by the end of the year, we will see more and more orders for this special application. So maybe by the end of the year, we'll see a better mix and more 2D application relate or compare with the beginning of the year.
Okay, that's helpful. Last question I have. What are you seeing in terms of customers' cloud plan or investment in fan-out? You know, we have seen obviously the large foundry in Taiwan that cut a lot of fan-out capacity, and we've heard kind of OSAT looking into it and doing some work on it, but doesn't seem like there's a lot of committed plan to ramp meaningful capacity. Do you have any kind of color you can provide in terms of how the pace fan-out is going to roll out this year?
I'm sorry, you're talking about the fan-out?
Yeah, I'm talking about the fan-out, yes. In terms of how the OSAT is planning on
I can give you now, you know, general view about what we can see from the customers. I would say that the concept of fan out is, I think, it becomes a. I would say that most of our major OSAT today looking for fan out technology. They believe that sooner or later, this concept will be the major concept in the industry. It saves assembly, it saves substrate, it gives you better performance, and one big foundry proved that it can make it in high yield, and I assume that all the other OSAT understand that if they want to continue growing, they have to go to this. So I believe that almost every major OSAT today is developed and put efforts on this segment. Now, none of them is on high volume yet, except, as I mentioned, one foundry. All the other OSAT, they still under development, qualification by customer, and I assume that we can see fan-out going ramping by probably the beginning of 2017. In this field, I see more qualification, proving of technology. I don't think that any of them intend or plan to make high volume of fan-out this year.
Great. That was super good color. Thank you.
The next question is from Craig Ellis of B. Riley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question and congratulations on the revenue performance. Rafi, I wanted to start just with a follow-up to Edwin's question on 2D and 3D mix, but maybe taking a longer-term approach to the question. Clearly, it's something that that gets marketed by the team this year and for which you see an increasing number of orders by the end of the year. As you look out to 2017, what do you think a reasonable benchmark would be for a successful product? Would it be in the 10 to 20% range of total sales, or would it be higher than that or lower than that? What would be a level that you would be satisfied with as you look to next year?
Okay. First, I'd like to describe the current situation. You know, our platform, our Eagle, can make in the same inspection cycle metrology and also 2D. What we've seen that most of the customers, they use our tool only for metrology, and they don't enjoy the capability of 2D, because 2D, they qualify Rudolph as their standard 2D inspection. So actually, they have you know, double load, unload, and it's more complicated for them to use two different platforms, one for 2D, one for 3D. So in general, I believe that the fact that in what platform they can make both will give them a lot of benefit in general. But In order to do it, they have to get qualification by the end user. So every OSAT has its own customers, and it needs to get qualification by the end user. And we started this process. We already qualified a few major customers, and I believe that more qualification, we will see our machine and more intensive use for 2D and 3D at the same time. So to tell you what I believe that if we talk about all the segments that we are not there, because there are some segments in 2D that we are there, but if you talk about segments that we are not there until now, I would say that for 2017 to be 20-30% is a fair willing, and we can make it.
Thanks for that. And then the next question is just to follow up on the comments last quarter on the Gryphon strategic review process. Can you give us an update on activities there, and is it still reasonable to think that the company is on track to have some kind of strategic move made by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think we continue with the same efforts. As I mentioned before, we use the Asian banker investment banking that already sent a teaser to many potential investors and sort who are the potential investors that can see this project as interesting for them. And we are now in the middle of this process. So I believe that within 1 month, maybe 2 months, we know more about the possibility to make such a deal and to bring in an investor.
And then my last question is for Moshe. Moshe, you mentioned the status of the IP dispute payment and that it's currently being impacted by a ruling by the local courts. Can you give us some sense for when there may be a ruling from those courts, and is there any potential that that would be disputed, or would that be the final decision that would catalyze a payment to the other party?
Unfortunately, I don't have a specific date for the final ruling. It has nothing to do with CAMTEC. It's within the court at this point. And I believe that once the court will provide his guidance and decision, we will follow. There is a specific tax issue with respect to where the tax will be paid, in Israel or in the U.S., which is outside of the dispute between the two parties. It is more has to do between the dispute between the governments, the tax authorities. And once the U.S. court will provide its decision, we will follow.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
The next question is from Greg Weaver in Invicta Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi. Do you expect any Gryphon revenue recognition this year?
We might have it, but we don't know yet, because I would say today we focus, or let's put it in this way. Let's say that maybe a few of our current customers would like to buy the system. Now, we have to decide first that we are going to continue supporting it, and we have a partner that together we are going for a long term to support this technology. If we cannot commit it, I'm not sure if I want to record any revenue on this system. So this is like, because, you know, every customer is also AOI customer, and we don't want to have a customer with a system that we cannot support it for long term. So we have first to see what is our option to bring in investors, and how much effort we need in order to support system, and based on that we can accelerate the selling and more installation. So I believe that in any case, the first half We plan to put all our efforts for getting more information about the possibility to bring in investor. If we see that it's not so easy and nobody interested at this point, no matter what is the reason, then we have to decide what next. But we are not there yet. Right now, we are, as I mentioned before, we're in the middle of this process.
Okay, thanks, Rafi. And how about, could you talk a little bit about your positioning for panel-based fan-out? I've seen a little more news about that recently. ASE licensed some technology recently. Kind of, what's your position there to perform inspection and metrology?
I would say that in general, we are involved almost in every fan-out project right now. And, some of them, and everyone choose different direction. One use a glass substrate, one use plastic substrate, one use silicon substrate. And we are involved in every and each of all these projects. And we support it with the 3D and 2D inspection. And together with customer, we some place develop special features, special capabilities. You mentioned ASE. We did a lot of project for this fan-out technology and to fit the requirements. So we are involved in almost in every fan-out project. So this is why I believe, and I believe also they understand that all these projects plan to get the execution minimum is a year from now. None of them believe it can start high volume less than a year from this point. But it's interesting. I believe it's going to be a growth engine for inspection and for us as well. But I think it's a little bit early to plan for this year to see multiple order for production. We see it's more for R&D and more for testing and more for qualification of sample to customer, but not yet for high volume.
Okay, that's helpful. So just onesie twosie kind of orders. But I guess just on that note, maybe Moshe, how did you quantify how much R&D was going up with all this activity going on?
I did not quantify, but it's between $300,000 to $400,000 this quarter.
Sequentially.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
By the way, I went to add one comment on the R&D expenses. As we always mention, almost every order we get, R&D is involved. It's nothing like standard order. On top of the fan in and fan out and metrology, almost every order we need support R&D. Now, when delivery time becomes 6 weeks, 8 weeks, customer expecting to get solution also from R&D in this time frame. So in order to go with our roadmap of R&D and also to support the sales activity, definitely the result is a little bit more expensive of R&D.
Understood. Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we pull for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Amit to go ahead with his concluding statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available on Camtek's website, www.camtek.co.il, beginning tomorrow. Mr. Amit, would you like to make a concluding statement?
Okay, I would like to thank you for your continued interest in our business. I intend to be on the road meeting with you in the coming weeks, and I look forward to talking with you again next quarter. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Camtek's first quarter 2015 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.